Welcome to Tramlines, a podcast from Agri. I'm your host, Tony Smith, putting your questions to the experts. Today we're talking to Petra Martin, Head of Health and Safety for Agri, Alex Phillimore, Head of Communications and Development at FCN, and Sam Bailey, Agri Agronomist and Farmer. Today we're going to talk about loneliness and isolation. What are the causes? What are the effects? And what can we do to combat this within the agricultural industry? So Petra, let's start with you. You know, what is the problem and why is it happening?
I think traditionally, when you look at agricultural roles, you have a number of elements that mean people are working on their own for a very long time. They are isolated both socially and geographically. I think we also need to look at what we mean by isolation and loneliness, because you can be lonely without being isolated and you can be isolated without being lonely. But specifically, when we look at agriculture, it's those long hours. It's spending an awful lot of time on your own, not having huge teams around you. When we look at agriculture industries or businesses such as Agri, we've also got a lot of our roles, like our agronomy roles, where certainly during the busy season, they're spending an awful lot of time out on their own.
And Alex at FCN, what is your understanding of the problem and what are you noticing?
So within the work of FCN, we often find that cases presenting to our charity are very multifaceted. So it would be rare that someone would be calling our helpline or speaking to our local volunteer caseworkers. And loneliness would be one factor, but there would be other issues behind that. So it might be that someone gets in touch with us and says, I am feeling very lonely at the moment, I need someone to talk to. But as we're speaking to that individual, could be a farmer, could be a farm worker, could be someone, you know, they would be telling us, okay, so yes, I'm feeling lonely, but I'm also worried about this particular issue going on in my personal life with my family relationships. And I've also got financial concerns. You know, the cases presenting are often very, very complex. But within loneliness specifically, I think it is the things that Petra's mentioned there. It is that this is an industry where there are potentially fewer people working around you than there used to be. You are on your own for long periods of time during the day. And you may find that you've actually not spoken to anyone properly for hours at a time or even days at a time, particularly during, let's say, harvest. So I think that this is an industry that has those unique challenges around loneliness and isolation.
Yeah, and Sam, let's bring you in here, because as well as being an agronomist, you're also a farmer, farming, I think, from what you said, about 1,000 acres. You know, for you, what is that loneliness and how regularly does it actually happen for you?
It can happen relatively frequently. Like Alex was saying, there are three of us on the farm, but generally we have our defined roles and you go off work, you know, long hours on your own. And the issue can be if something's not going your way, it feels like it's all on your head. It's up to you to find a way through or to work longer hours to get the job done. You're not on your own, but it can often feel that way. And you can always, you know, often, particularly weather's against you, you get the feeling that it's only you who's suffering. But you also generally, social groups tend to be farming related. And, you know, it can turn out to sound a bit like an echo chamber that if you're struggling, so is everyone else. And if you're not careful, that can end up spiraling things into, rather than getting that sense of we're all in it together, you can get a sense of doom and gloom and the world's going to end, which, you know, yeah, is not necessarily the case, but at that point it can feel that way.
Yeah. And Petra, just coming back to trying to understand why, you know, we're in an age where we've all got mobile phones, we're able to talk to people, whilst we're working. So should we not be feeling less isolated?
I think it comes down to the type of communication that you're having, because yes, you've got a phone in your pocket. You might, in Sam's example there, you've got three people working on the farm. I imagine that during the day they are probably having quick calls about who's doing what, but it's a very transactional conversation. It's not a meaningful connection. And I think when you're really busy, you can't make time to step away from that type of conversation and have the I don't want to say deep and meaningful conversations, but the conversations about actually what you need to be talking about.
And Alex, working in an industry where there are less people involved than there were many, many years ago, does that make us more prone to isolation?
Yeah, so we've touched upon this already, but I think it's, you know, you've got fewer people potentially having to do more work than was historically the case. So I think there's this element of people having to just really knuckle down and work, and it leads to opportunities to do anything else. And we hear from farmers who say that, you know, I would like to socialize more and I'd like to get off farm more, but the realities of my work prevent me from doing so. I need to be up extremely early in the morning. I need to be working until end of the day. I'm shattered by the end of the day. I just eat my dinner and, you know, go to bed. And then the cycle starts all over again. And we know that farmers do typically struggle to get off farm to do anything else. And usually when they do go off farm to do something else, it's usually still in a farming context. So it'll be going to market, it'll be going to, you know, agricultural show or whatever it might be, but it's still farming and it's still similar people, which I think talks to Sam's point there, which is that you can be in a bit of an echo chamber hearing the same sort of things being raised time and time again.
And Sam, maybe from your own experience, if you're happy to share, how would you describe the feeling of loneliness and isolation?
Yeah, it can really, you know, drag you down, escalate the problems you had in your head that can make them feel bigger and bigger if you see that their issues are, sometimes if their issues affecting others. I know, you know, often it's said a problem shared is a problem halved, but when the other person's suffering the same problems, it can actually, you know, escalate things and make it feel more doom and gloom, and you can't see a way out to the other end.
And Sam, what is the impact on our families, the people around us, our friends, and on our work?
Yeah, it can certainly have a drain on all of them. Generally, if you're in that sort of situation, you're not sleeping properly, that reduces your, you know, able to concentrate at work, productivity at work. And yeah, you can become irritable, angry, grumpy. And that definitely has an impact on, you know, anyone around you. They can feel the brunt of it, even though they're out there trying to help.
Yeah. And Alex, I know you've done some really great work on this sort of subject area. What are your thoughts on what the actual impact is on that person, that business, that family, all of those things?
Yeah, so I think it contributes to mental health challenges in farming to an extent. We did some research as FCM with the University of Exeter's Centre for Rural Policy Research last year. It was really delving into loneliness and isolation in farming and what the impacts are of that. And I think what I would say there is that in terms of the impact that has on people, it can, as Sam sort of mentioned there, we've had people say, sort of like family members saying to farmers, you know, you care more about the farm than you do about me. I'm clearly second priority. Your work is your life rather than your life being, you know, to enjoy. But I think it does create lots of issues. I think I'd also like to raise this point that I think is also came up in our research, which was about this urban-rural divide. I do find that we do hear from farmers that tell us that actually a lack of public understanding of farming contributes to some of these issues around loneliness and isolation, because we all here know what farmers do, and we know that farming is a vital industry, and we know that we all rely on farmers three times a day. But I think a lot of the public's only exposure to farming is going to the supermarket once a week and walking down the supermarket aisle. They never get to go down the farm path. They never go through the farm gate. They never see what happens on farm. And I think that can lead to misconceptions, but it can also create this divide where farmers feel that the public don't understand them. And I don't think that's healthy. I think we need better sort of understanding and sort of try and cross that bridge.
Thanks, Alex. And Petra, thinking about agronomists and farm advisors who also work very long hours, often on their own, how does loneliness and isolation affect them?
Again, I think it can be one factor in general mental health and where you are on that scale of mental wellness. And certainly during the busy season, we do start to see more impact on that, although while people are busy, and Sam will probably attest to this, it's, you know, while you're busy, you keep going. And often it's when you take a step back later in the season that some of the effects, the cumulative effects really come to play. One thing that we are looking at is is the fact that not only have we got people who are on their own for long periods of time, but also they are visiting farmers who are on their own for long periods of time, and very often it can be one of the very few people through, you know, down the farm track through the farm gate. And if you've got a farmer who is struggling, the interaction between an agronomist who might also be struggling, and you can see how these things kind of impact on each other.
We are giving every listener a copy of the FCN's Fit for Farming booklet. There is a separate version for men and women. Simply email your address to info@agri.co.uk, and don't forget to specify which version you would like to receive, and we will send you one in the post. Or visit farmwell.org.uk/fit for farming to find out more. And Alex, how can we encourage people to talk more openly about mental health?
It's a complex question, but we're doing various things within FCN to try and address this very issue. And it's really about identifying that there are lots of people who are going to be interfacing with farmers in different roles. It could be agronomists, it could be land agents, it could be lawyers, solicitors, etc. All of whom need to be able to understand what the pressures are in farming, particularly at the moment, the pressures that farmers are under, and then how to spot when they're seeing perhaps behavioural changes in those individuals that would be perhaps an indication of mental ill health. And then if they do observe those things, how to signpost them to charities such as FCN. So I think it's really, really important that we do more of this training side of things. And I go and deliver this training, and I've delivered it to farmers who have never once in their life had an open conversation around mental health. It's something they've avoided. And actually, even though it can be a bit of a tough conversation, it's not always the easiest conversation, the feedback I receive afterwards is people coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know what, I've never actually thought about mental health in this way. I've never acknowledged that actually we all have mental health, and it can be good, it can be bad. We use this analogy of the pressure cooker of stress, which is that all of us have a capacity for dealing with stress. Some of us can deal with tons of stress and we can somehow thrive, but some people are perhaps more easily overwhelmed. And it's about appreciating that we're all different, and that what you might be able to handle, someone else might not be able to, and we need to take different approaches and be empathetic. So we do all sorts of things within that training that really tries to help normalize talking about mental health and helping people to better understand what mental ill health actually is. And just something else I'd like to throw in there as well. We're doing a lot of these events at the moment within FCN, which are called Yarn in a Barn events. And the whole point of a yarn in a barn, it doesn't have to be in a barn, and it doesn't have to involve yarn. But the point of a yarn in a barn is that we bring the local farming community together in different areas. So we've run these in Dorset, we've run them in Yorkshire, you know, we've run them all over the country. And it's about getting farmers together to have a chat, have some food. And then we always focus them on a particular farming issue. So sometimes they focused on bovine tuberculosis and animal disease. Sometimes they focused on policy change and new government grants and schemes. And the whole idea is to get farmers sharing experiences, perhaps letting off a bit of steam, but also trying to get them to leave those conversations with something positive that they can perhaps apply in their businesses that they hadn't considered. So those are just a couple of things that we're doing within FCM.
And they sound like great events, Alex. They really do. And Sam, for you, to get away from the farm, I understand that you love to have a bit of fun in a boat. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I like to get off the farm as and when I can, which is few and far between. But water skiing, there's four me and three friends own a boat together. And when we can, it's a good excuse to have a meet up, do something. And I find physical exercise as well as meeting up help me blow off steam, and, you know, everything seems a bit better when you've had a chance to get away from the farm and do something different.
Alex talks there about, you know, if we notice that somebody perhaps is not themselves, and, you know, maybe things are getting on top of them, to recommend that they could contact somebody like FCN for that help. But what can we do in that moment that actually can make a real difference?
I think listen. I think, again, it's just taking that step back and stop thinking about the work pressures and the constant, I've got to get to the next thing, and actually just take a moment to listen. Because often, I think Sam said that sort of offloading earlier, often people do need to offload. And if that's you, then you have to stop and you have to listen. And you don't have to solve the problem. That's really key as well. I think sometimes people are afraid to listen, afraid to have those conversations, because they think they're going to have to offer a solution. But actually you don't, and you need to listen and hopefully know where you can point them to those supports. So Alex mentioned FCN. There are lots of charities out there who also offer a whole range of different support and networks. And it's really key that awareness of what support is available and the fact that it's specific support for the agricultural community as well.
And Alex, is listening to others something that we can all do very easily and we can do more of it?
I think it very much is. I mean, I think we need to appreciate that we're all very, very busy people. We're not necessarily going to be trained professionals in these areas. So we have to be realistic. We're not miracle workers. But I do think that all of us, I think listening is a skill within itself. I think sometimes people say, oh, I'm a great listener, and then they actually prefer to talk about themselves than listen to others. So I think being able to actually listen, empathize, as Petra quite rightly said there, it's not about necessarily having all the solutions. And certainly within FCM, with our volunteers, a big part of what we do is listening and supporting. And we do walk with people through any challenges they might have, but we don't necessarily have the solution to all those issues, particularly as the cases that we deal with might be so complex and go back for years and have all sorts of interweaving components that it's incredibly difficult to unpick. But I think actually that first point of listening and making that time to do so, which I think Petra also mentioned there, and going into an appropriate space where you can have a conversation with someone and there's not distractions around and you're not checking your phone every 5 minutes looking like you want to be somewhere else except there. You know, there's a few very simple things that you can do to show someone that you actually have the time to give, or just letting them know that when they're ready to talk, you're willing to listen.
And Petra, in the agricultural industry, are we seeing a real change in our awareness of mental health and our willingness to talk about it?
I do think awareness is improving. And I do think that we are getting closer to that normalization of all of the range of sort of mental health concerns. So I think the more we can normalize, the more we will see those improvements and the more we will see people talking out, speaking out and talking to others, reaching out to charities for support.
And Sam, do you sense a change on our farms in terms of our awareness of mental health?
There is a change, but it's very incremental, very small. And building on Alex's point, a big thing I was thinking is, yes, if they're in trouble, but it's accepting that you are in trouble. You say, yes, if I'm in trouble, I'll turn to the FCN or a charity. But often there's a lot of denial. It's not me. There's someone out there who's suffering worse than me. And it's that accepting that it is actually you and you could do with some help.
So, Alex, I see you nodding in agreement to what Sam's saying there. What would you like to add?
The point I would want to make is don't wait until you're at a point of crisis before reaching out to charities such as FCN. The sooner you get in touch with us, we can support you. And the longer you wait, the harder it is for you to get the help you might need.
What would each of you like to share, like to urge listeners here today to think about that could make a real difference on our farms? Sam, what are your thoughts?
I think you've got to try and find a time somewhere where you can get a step away from the farm, whatever it is that's really dragging down, and do something away from it that you enjoy.
And Alex, your thoughts?
The most important asset on the farm is its people. And if people are feeling healthy and well, the farm will benefit. So let's all empathise, respect and support each other. So if you would like to speak to someone in confidence who understands farming life and its pressures, FCM volunteers are here to have that conversation with you. You can contact us in confidence on 03000 111 999.
And Petra, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to go back to talking. I think absolutely talk to people. We've mentioned talking to people when the issues are small enough to talk about before it becomes a huge barrier to opening those conversations. So taking time to talk, taking time to listen.
Thank you, Petra, Alex and Sam, for sharing your thoughts as to how we can combat loneliness and isolation in the agricultural industry. That's it for this podcast, but do tune in again as we meet the experts throughout the season, exploring the many immediate and longer-term questions for growers and farmers in the UK. If you have any questions that you'd like us to ask the experts, email info@agri.co.uk. See you next time.